Good evening, everyone. Okay, we've been working on the responsibility series. I started that. I was going to do it on the responsibility of Christians to other Christians. And I can't do that. I've got to do responsibility of Christians to God first. So I did that the last time. And now we are working on responsibility of Christians to other Christians. This is one of my favorite quotes. Duty is the most beautiful word in the English language, by Robert E. Lee. If you look at the synonyms, duty is a synonym of responsibility. They're essentially the same thing. The antonym is disregard. So after we did responsibility to God, we will move on to the responsibility of some Christians to other Christians. I'm not given to being a biblicist. A biblicist is someone who gives you a scripture verse and then they string 20 or so after it just to prove how much they know in the Bible. So I say, I know this verse and all these others. That's not what I'm talking about the way we do it at Calvary. But I have been there where I listen to somebody say, move now to this, and they'd have 20 in a row. Don't like that. You know, if you're going to prove to me how much you know of the Bible, pass it out in a handout form. Let me read them for myself. There are three different ways to approach this. I started to do it in the chronological way, and that's one point after the other. That didn't work because there were so many different things. So I thought, well, I'll do it in a thematic report. Can't do it that way either, because there were 71 themes of Christians' responsibility to other Christians. There were 82 verses that belonged in at least seven different of the themes. So I decided I would use the anthology report, and that is where you take, by the way, I looked it up on your favorite site or one of your favorite sites, anthology, so you'll know that I looked it up. A book or other collection of selected writings by various authors, usually in the same literary form of the same period or on the same subject. And the Bible is definitely on the same subject. There are three themes, for the most part, in the New Testament. One is history. That would be Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, some of the others that tell about where Jesus came from, why he came here, what it means to us, what he did while he was here, and all of those things that tell us what happened and why we should believe in Jesus Christ. Then there's prophecy, what's going to happen at the end of this life and what comes in between. The way we live the life that we have been given. Now, since we have done the responsibility of Christians to God, we are going next to responsibility of Christians to fellow Christians. And this is incredibly involved. Try to get through with it tonight, but it very possibly will take longer than that. I will be leaving out some of your favorite points of what, because God puts on us different stresses, if you will. You are responsible for doing this, and you are responsible for doing something else. If we all had the same responsibility, there would just be a lot of things that would be left undone, because we can't all be focused in the same direction and get everything done. There are times that we struggle to know what to do with our neighbor, with our friends, and even sometimes with fellow church members. Junho, do you still have that little chihuahua thing living next door to you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Does that cause you stress? Okay. All right. Be honest now. Yeah. Have you ever... That's a neighbor. Most of us have had some kind of a negative reaction to what our neighbor has done. And we grit our teeth. And we try to keep our mouth shut. Every one of you knows what I'm talking about. Don't look at me like that. Not me. Yes, you have. I don't believe... A friend ever date one of your old girlfriends or boyfriends? Ever been jealous of someone else's car? church member ever say anything that you thought was catty or mean? Do you remember this definition of stress that made the rounds some years ago? Stress occurs when you resist the overwhelming desire to choke the living daylights out of someone who desperately deserves it. When we have a responsibility of any kind, I heard his story when he came in. I think I believe him. Yes, dear. Let me go on to the next point. Real, I don't, because my wife could get started, and you know she could take up the whole time that we're studying together. I don't want you two girls to ever talk again. You and I make decisions every day. We made decisions about who we were going to follow years ago. Now, this is my favorite poet of all time, America's poet, Robert Frost. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. A lot of people, including me, believe that was his profession of Christianity. Because when we take the smooth road, it is a lot easier. You don't have the conflicts because you don't have a conscience, for one thing. If you take the easy road, you have maybe man-made conscience, but you don't have the conscience for the things you do that Jesus Christ puts on you. You have, remember that Jesus put more pressure on us in the New Testament than we had in the Old Testament. Remember in the Old Testament, can't do that, don't do that, don't do that. What did Jesus say? Don't think that. And we have to be much more controlled. That is what can get us into trouble. Have you ever been where almost all the Christians were happy? We pretty much have that in our church. Everybody seems to love everybody. Really. I just haven't seen that sort of thing. I have been where a new building was voted on. All in favor of our spending $5 million on a new building, say aye. And all the people said aye. And then problems begin to arise. Conflict sets in. And we have to learn how to deal with other people. Sometimes it's like this. We will finance this building at my brother's bank. No, my wife's dad's bank. And everybody wants their piece of the pie. But this is the best one. We'll have purple drapes, my sister. Not with green carpet, you idiot. Let's deal with responsibility to fellow Christians. What do you think is the most important command in our responsibility to others? Now, it's pretty easy to love Jesus. He died for us. He died for us. If we believe on Him and in Him, our place in eternity is secured. By the way, the second most important decision you make is who to marry, because that determines what it's going to be like from here to there.
From one for two, is that what you're saying?
But when you make that decision, what else, what burden does Jesus put on you that sometimes gets very difficult? All right. Now, this is where biblicist kind of kicks in. Get your Bible, turn to John 13, 34 and 35. This is, and by the way, keep your Bibles out, keep your finger there. We're going to do a lot of biblical tracking. John 13, 34 and 35. This is the most important of all the commands. Love one another. Now, sometimes it's difficult to love somebody. And I have found a way to deal with that. You love them, but you don't like them. you differentiate between the two. Oh, I love that guy. I love him. But I sure don't like him. And I don't forgive him. And I don't want anything to do with... Have you ever known anybody that it's just better you do not deal with? I think that's a display of love. If you have the types of personalities that are constantly grating, just stay away from them. Sometimes it just doesn't work. It can't be made to work. It's not going to work, so it's best to have friendly hellos and go somewhere else to sit. Kind of like oil and water. Why are you picking on him tonight? Somebody define love for me. Remember, you're defining an emotion. You're not defining what a rock looks like. That's something concrete. Forgive the pun. Define love. It's awfully difficult to define an emotion because it's so elusive. And what it is in one person's mind may not be the exact thing it is in another mind. We know what Jesus said. He was talking about his kind of love. And that's that love that is forever and forever. Now, first time I think this was the first time I got interested in a girl. And my dad gave me advice, and he has given me the best definition of love that I have ever seen. Love is that feeling that you feel when you feel you're going to feel that feeling that you never... I think that's as good as I have ever heard. I was 50 years ago. I've looked for a good one since, and we don't know. I can't define for you what love is, but Jesus told us to do it. How many people are willing to do that? And how many people recognize that as Jesus' definition? He defined it as being willing to die as he had died. And I'm not sure it should be that we would die for our brethren. And most of us, if we had time to think, well, what happens when it happens so quickly you don't have time to think? That's our natural reaction, is to get out of the way. Now, it was mentioned several more times. Somebody turned to John 15:12 and then 17. There's no way to get out of what Jesus is saying. We are to love one another. Excuse me? What? There's no way. You can't redefine it. You've got to love them, no matter how unlovely they are. I thank God that we don't have that sort of thing. Sometimes, you know, Renee gets on my nerves, or Bill gets on my nerves, or somebody... But that's not the same. We can still love them through that. We can still love them even though they're on our... There's not a person in here who hasn't had their spouse get on their nerve. You got on the last one. Yes? Okay, somebody turn to Romans. I did not leave... Let Gary do this one because it's in Romans. Romans 13:8. No matter how hard we have to look for it sometimes. You find it, Gary? Okay. You know why I gave that one to Gary? That's right. Go ahead, Gary. And sometimes that neighbor, they own a chihuahua.
No, it's not a dog. It's a rodent.
I'm not going to get into this fight, because you're going to jump on him, aren't you? Yeah. Okay. Now, she's got one of those little chihuahua things. Paul expanded that command. Look to Romans 12:10. Gary, you do that one for me again, please. No, that's okay. That takes care of it. We're supposed to be devoted to one another. It's not a matter of just loving. And when you're out of their sight, saying, I'm glad that's over. If we're devoted, our love will be constant. That is the main responsibility of one Christian to another, is to love them even though they may have halitosis, Love them even though their hair may be messy. Love them even though they're not lovely. And I know how difficult that can be. It's easy to love a beautiful person who has a sweet spirit. It's not so easy to love someone who is always angry about something. It's just not easy. That's when we have to, "Yes, Lord, give me what you told me to do and let me walk through this." Now, there are several other Pauline admonitions. Turn to Galatians 5:13. Now, that is the key word, or what is the key word? It's serve. If we love, we will serve. If they have a need, we will meet that need. We're also, I think, very good about that. And how many ladies Bible studies do we have? Is it two or three? Anybody? See, to me that is a mark of the love of the people of our church. June Ho didn't start them, as far as I know. People just said, "I want to meet with my sisters in a time of Bible study, study together, and learn more about the love of Jesus." They decided that. Two different groups. Now, when your congregation starts building its own groups of service, or somebody... See, the preacher, teacher, pastor, he can say, "We need somebody to do so-and-so." "Yeah, I'll do it. They do it because the pastor needs somebody, and we all want to serve the pastor. We want to do what... But when you get together on your own and say, "Look, I think we need to have this in our church," that shows a spirit of love and of service. And not every place has it. That's one of the things you lose, those of you who would like to have a church of 600 people. You lose that intimacy. You lose that ability to walk up to a person and say, "I've seen you here 10 times, therefore I want you to be a part of a new group that I want to start. I want you to be a part of a new service group." We need to have service groups. Turn to John 13:14.
It's tough to love somebody like that.
It certainly is.
Right.
It certainly is. And the next two things I will be doing, and I may do them both together depending on the enemies. I have it. That is on my list. And how we serve or love the environment that God has given us. We cannot hate somebody because they hate us. And we cannot turn our back on that individual who hates us. It's awfully hard. You don't have to like them, but you do have to love them. You have to love everybody. And I know how hard that is. I mean, I know some people that if they ever step out in front of my car, I will slam on the brakes, but I'll hope they don't work. Yes, you had. I thought you had your hand up. No. Okay. Depends on the way the hand is put on you, I think. How many of you would have been kind to Adolf Hitler? Now, who was it said they had John 13 and 14? Oh, Rudy? Why do you think he told us to wash the feet of our fellow Christians and of those about us? No, it means even Jim's feet should be washed. And it's humbling to wash those feet. And remember, that was the dirtiest part of the anatomy of the people of that time, because they wore sandals and they walked everywhere. Their hands may be spotless, but if they had been outside the house, their feet were dirty. And we were to wash their feet. It's humbling to both of those involved. Okay. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now that, if you want to look that up, that's Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. How many of you enjoy submitting? Now be honest.
I've gotten used to it.
I don't. You know, is that your hand saying you enjoy? You like to submit. Okay. I've never been asked to lead a seminar on marriage enrichment. And I think this is the reason I bring out the venom in so many people. I'm not sure, but okay. Renee, what? Never mind. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then in Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We do a good job of that at CCOS. When we see somebody hurting, we go to them. I want us to get better at when we see somebody hurting spiritually. At one time when we were meeting in the cafeteria at the high school, one morning I saw, I think it was four little groups, one of men, three of women, standing in a little tight-knit group, and they were all praying for somebody in that group. To me, it was one of the most touching scenes I have ever seen at any church. Somebody had a need. Three or four women went to her, got around her, and they had prayer, standing in front of everybody in the church. I don't want us to lose that. I think one of the things, we have the confines of space now where we didn't then. If we see somebody hurting physically, we run to them. We need to get better, I think, at recapturing that and not being confined by the space and going to them when we know they are having a spiritual or an emotional hurt. See, it's not it's wonderful for our ladies to have formed the group when we see somebody coming out of the hospital. Call and say, we'll have food there for you every other day for the next week or whatever the time period is. But what about the one who we know is hurting from an emotional pain or a spiritual pain, or they are feeling ostracized, or a variety of things? We need to pull together and go to them also. Will we all agree with that? Okay. When we have the new building, I think we'll see that again. But for the most part, you know, I stand in the back, everybody picks their chair up and they put it away and they want to get out of the way. And I stand there until they're about ready to pull the carpet out from under me. And I understand that. I mean, God bless these men and women who carry in and carry out. It saves the rest of us some torturous hours of preparing the building and then getting it torn down so that it'll be ready for them on Monday morning. But it does put pressure on us to get out of the way, whereas we have not had that when I was talking about that other. Go to 2 Thessalonians 1:13. 1:3. I'm sorry. Did I say 13? Yeah. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. Have you seen our church grow in love for each other? Do you think that makes the Lord Jesus Christ happy? Does it not make each of us happy? Then that shows that we have love for one another, because we're happy. Each of us is growing in that love for Jesus Christ. It is a marvelous feeling, it's a feeling, when a preacher hears the leaves of the Bible going, and you hear it all over the auditorium. It is a marvelous feeling when he sees people look at him and smile. That's one of the things, and we'll get into that next time, is the encouraging of those, particularly, I think, our leadership, because they set the tone. What if June Ho got up every Sunday morning and said, all right, turn in your Bibles. If you don't remember where I was last time, then you shouldn't even be here today. Now, who would be back the next Sunday? Probably none of us. But he tells us where he was the last time, where we're supposed to go to this time. And he does it with love. We've got to make sure that we love each other in everything we do. Okay, I'm going to stop there.